Welcome back to the Boys Dynasty Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your co-host, Josh Schaefer, back again with my old co-host, Brian Henn. Brian, it's great to have you back this week.
Thank you, Josh. I am excited to be back. For all of you that are questioning my audio right now, I'm coming to you live from the Quality Inn in Seymour, Indiana. And yes, I'm working off the Quality Inn Wi-Fi as well. So if I drop randomly, we will all know why.
It's that Quality Inn Wi-Fi. And Brian, the reason you're at the Quality Inn right now is because you drove all the way down to Louisville tonight to watch the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team. Why don't you tell us how that went? How was it?
It was a blast. Annie's a huge fan of the U.S. Women's National Team, as am I. They're a ton of fun to watch. Like 6 months ago or so, we saw that they were coming to Louisville for a friendly against Argentina. And we kind of set up this plan where, you know, she drove down, I met her in Seymour, and then we, you know, continued the rest of the way down to Louisville to see the game. It was a great night. It was like, you know, 72 or 73 degrees out, really nice. It was the first time we'd ever seen them in person before, so that was really awesome. I'm a huge Rose Lavelle fan. I think she's just like so cool and so good. So that was pretty sweet. She played tonight. They won 3-0. So, you know, good, just nice quality soccer match. So
that's great.
It was a blast. And then drove back and here I am at the Quality Inn.
How many soccer games have you been to in your life, you think?
Not that many. We've been to a Washington Spirit game. We've been to a Racing Louisville game, which are both
Racing Louisville.
R-A-C-I-N-G.
That's a horrible team name.
Yes,
yeah, it's really bad.
It's a little weird. I think it's because of the like racehorses.
Horse racing. Yeah, sure.
I don't know. So they're both NWSL teams, and then we've been to a couple Indy 11 games, I think, around Indy. So, what about you? Are you a soccer aficionado?
I've been to a few Sounders games.
That's fun.
Yeah, they are fun. They're great. The only thing that sucks is, and this is a sign that I'm definitely getting older, is that people do stand the entire time. And I just don't want to stand the entire time. For an MLS game, like there are games I could stand the entire time for, but a regular season MLS game is 100% not worth standing. So that dissuades us from going. I've been tempted by the Seattle Reign because we also have a women's soccer league team here. Obviously Megan Rapinoe, big celebrity of the city. But we haven't gone, and it's not intentional. We just haven't really
Yeah,
we never think about it because we don't monitor the schedule, and it's not like Louise is super into sports. And honestly, I would say at this point in my life, I'm the least into sports that I have ever been outside of fantasy football. Because I just don't watch them that much. I do have the World Series game on in the side. I have been really enjoying the World Series. Have you watched it at all?
A little bit here and there. I'm still a little bitter about the Phillies losing, so it's hard to get yourself back into the postseason when your team loses. But I've definitely been keeping track. I actually watched a good amount of last night's game. I thought it was going to be just a nice, easy 4-game sweep, and it's seeming like it's going to be a series.
I would say so. Not that I know anything about baseball, but it's very interesting to form your opinion on players from watching like 3 games. So
totally.
It's been kind of fun.
So from 3 games, who's the best player in the sport?
It seems like Freddie Freeman is the best player in the sport.
he is definitely top 10, but recently he's totally number one.
So. Yeah, and it seems like Ohtani and Judge are overrated a little bit.
Nailed that. You don't need to watch any more baseball. If you just go around telling other baseball fans that everybody will agree with you, I promise.
This is a baseball podcast now. This is talking baseball. It was Garrett Cole's at 100 pitches right now. So that seems like a lot. I don't think they normally throw that many anymore.
That is a lot.
Thanks, Brian. It's been fun to watch, but I'm glad you got to go down to Louisville and enjoy the, how was Michigan last week? Did you have fun?
We did. It was a blast. Went up to Traverse City, Michigan. So way up north on the mitten, I guess is what you would call it. And then spent some time up in the Upper Peninsula, which was the first time I've ever been up there. So took a big day trip
Barry?
and went up there. Took our dog with us, did a bunch of hiking. So yeah, it was a blast. And then had a great time listening to you and Sloan on the pod on the drive back. So it was a really good time.
You
Yeah.
subjected Annie to listening to the
She was reading in the back seat.
podcast?
So
Wait, Annie
just
was in the back seat while you were driving back?
yes, because she had to climb back there to get a book. And then she was like, I don't really want to climb back up. So I was just chauffeuring her around the state of Michigan pretty much.
So this isn't like a common thing for the two of you where
No.
she will sit in the back seat.
No.
Okay.
Don't you do
Yeah, I always make Louis sit in the back. Yeah.
that?
I'm like, you read your book. I'm going to listen to whatever I want to
The
listen to.
boys. The boys is
Yeah,
what
that's
we
a good
like.
idea though, because sometimes she plays music that I don't want to listen to. So maybe I can
Yeah.
just send her to the back seat, you know,
Yep.
and
Just
play whatever
do
I want
anchor.
to. And
Yeah.
I would imagine you're always driving too. So
Yeah. Yeah. Most
not
times.
because I think Annie's
It's
incapable of driving, but I know you're a driver like
I know.
that.
I enjoy it and she doesn't. So it's like
Yeah.
it doesn't make sense to do it any other way. So I was gonna ask you how was it doing the pod with Sloan last week? Did you guys have a good time?
It was fun. Yeah, it was great to have Sloan on and just his like classic Sloan things that he does, you know,
Yep.
like the one that I love is whenever you ask him about the table for the last week, he always like only talks about his team and what it meant for his team.
Yep.
And we haven't spent that much time talking about Sloan's team this year. So it was nice to have him on to talk about that
Yeah.
and be prepared. I loved his like little thing at the end after I dropped out because I had to go. But yeah, it's fun variety. You know, it's the podcast is it can get monotonous, so it's nice to like have guests on or switch it up. It's not anything about you. I would love for you to do one
No.
without me one week, so feel free to
Totally.
schedule it. But yeah, it was nice to have Sloan on. I think he was excited to be back. I feel like he had some energy, some life after the first few weeks, so you could sense that on the podcast, I think.
I totally agree. It was fun to kind of see you guys, back in your element. So,
Yeah.
yeah, it was a blast. I'm glad you guys did that.
Yes, it was good to be back, good to have him, and I think a good transition as well into, you know, we have a lot of fantasy football to talk about. So if you just
Totally.
listen to the podcast for us talking about our lives, you're going to get an abbreviated section this week. I do have 2 days of reffing Saturday and Sunday this weekend, so I'll be sure to give you guys an update on how that goes.
That was my favorite part of last week. That was so interesting.
I'm guessing it's going to be a disaster this weekend. But at least I get paid finally for the first time I'm getting paid this weekend.
Good.
That's
More
cool.
middle school girls basketball.
I think it's a middle school boys and middle school girls. So,
Interesting.
yeah, a lot
Okay.
of middle schoolers in my life. The most ever probably as an
Yeah.
adult.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, they're intense. They're scary. Louisa telling me not to be confrontational, and I do have a little bit of confrontational in me. So,
Really?
yeah, I do. Surprise,
No
surprise,
idea.
Brian.
So, are any of them taller than you or anything? Like, you're pretty tall, but like not, but
There
that's
were
the weird age
not on
where
my
some of them
court.
are super tall and some are super short.
I think in the middle school boys game, that will be the case. The girls that I was reffing, none of them
Yeah.
were that tall. They were still pretty
Sure.
short. Yeah.
Yeah,
So,
that's fine. Well, yeah, I'm
okay.
looking forward to hearing the stories.
Yes, I'll let you guys know how it goes. It'll be fun and exhausting, I'm sure, to do both. So, okay, let's get into this week, Brian. We had a big, you know, another big week of fantasy football. Standings continue to play out. The playoff race is tighter than maybe it's been in 2 years in our fantasy football league. Finally, some intrigue. We missed you last week. Brian, where are you at on the table? Where are you at on last week's results?
I thought last week was a very interesting break from the pattern that it feels like we've had all year in terms of just some massive point totals put up. Like I have not done the research on this. I should, but I would have to imagine the average score for teams last week, especially if you were to withdraw my team, it has got to be like 20 points higher than any other week this
I
year. Like,
agree. Yeah.
everybody was in the 130s, 140s. Obviously, a couple teams got up into the, like you were at over 180, like, Tom was almost at 150, just huge point totals. So it was kind of funny. Personally, Matt and I were talking about my team's dismal performance. And part of me was like, you know what? Like, even if a couple guys had done a little bit better, I still would have come in last. So I'm like, you might as well just have like a trash week. throw away the game tape and you move on to the new week. So I'm as confident as ever. I'm hoping just all my guys got their poor performance out of the way in the same week, and we're moving on. So it was kind of interesting. It's like, man, last week was a humbling week for me personally. I think, really important weeks for Dylan, for Mike, for Sloan, for Colin, a little bit. Like, Colin had a really nice week. Obviously, you and Tommy did a nice job of kind of separating yourselves from the fray that's happening in the 3-4-5 slot. And I'll leave this teaser out there because I want to hear your thoughts before we come back to this.
Ooh.
So give me your overall thoughts on the table, but I'm just going to throw out that I think Sloan is quickly becoming one of the most interesting teams in this entire league. So
Oh, okay.
we'll leave
Yeah,
that there. You tell me your full thoughts, and then we can jump back into that.
First off, I totally agree with you about the scoring last week. It was crazy how it skyrocketed. I think at one point I was projected for the top score. I remember checking out like 135. And then everybody just went off. I don't know if it was the afternoon games or just the second half of the morning games, but teams really started taking off. Lots of touchdowns, lots of scoring. You did pick a great week to put up 88 points. And it further proves that disparity that I put in the chat of you being the third place team, 983 points for the season, Sloan being the sixth place team, 945 points for the season. So, only 40 points less than yours, but 13 less table points than you. I think that is a testament to the unluckiness of Sloan's team this year. I think he may be sold a little bit early. I don't want to get in on Sloan too much, but it was actually something I was planning on talking about. He's seeing a little bit of positive momentum, 6-9-6 over the last 3 weeks on the table. Definitely a good sign for him. I think for me and Tommy, obviously, it was a great week for me in terms of points scored, but the bigger story on my end is the injuries. They're really starting to pile up. I lost Diggs this week, season-ending injury. Chris Godwin last week, season-ending injury. Brian Thomas gets injured. That's obviously a big deal. Drake May gets a concussion. That's probably going to hurt. Hopefully he's back by the time Kyler has his bye week. There's just been a lot of injuries going on the team, which really sucks. And even though you want these weekly point totals, you definitely want to get the number one overall seed in the regular season. The injuries really start to hurt, and I think they are disproportionately impacting my team. Tommy, another great performance as always. Every time his players seem to score, Brock Purdy goes crazy. Everybody just has an insane game whenever they need to. So good for him. I think outside of that, Colin puts up 5 points and it doesn't seem unreasonable. Honestly, maybe a little bit unlucky considering how much scoring there was. I think if you're Matt, I think we're getting a little bit closer to the every week we need to watch this storyline of does Colin start to make up some ground on Matt? Because I don't think anybody really is tanking that hard. And Colin has no reason to try and finish last. He doesn't have his own first. So I think that's a big storyline to watch, but overall, I think the thing between you, Mike, and Dylan right now, 4 points separating third versus fifth, it's truly a toss-up about who's going to make the playoffs. I honestly think that any of those three teams could, and it's just going to come down to the luck of the draw. You guys are all pretty similar. Dylan and Matt or and Mike probably have better depth than you do, Brian. But I think when your team is fully healthy, you have the best team. So I think it'll be exciting coming down the stretch to see what happens there. But overall, another great week of results. But I would love to hear your thoughts on Sloan's team. I have some thoughts myself, but what have you
Yeah.
been thinking about Sloan's roster?
It seems like we're very much on the same page of he is only 9 points out of, or sorry, he's only 11 points out of a playoff spot currently, which at the rate that he's put up points these last 2 weeks, I mean, he's had six table points, nine table points, six table points over the last couple of weeks. So he's made up some pretty serious ground on people. I mean, he was second to last just a couple of weeks ago, and here he is, in that sixth place spot. To me, I was very surprised when all three of those players got put on the trade block this week. Nixon already out the door, to you, right? I think you guys were the ones that
Yes.
made the deal. Yeah. So, Nixon's already out the door. It feels a couple, I mean, a week or so early on this, just given how his team has performed recently. It really feels like he is in this tipping point. That's why I call him the most interesting team. Like, I think he could go either way. His team could go either way over these next 2 or 3 weeks, where he could really rocket himself up into, into that contention for the last playoff spot, with the three of us. Or I feel like he could plummet all the way back down to second to last, just with, the sheer kind of talent loss that he's suffered over the last year. Or I shouldn't say suffered. He's decided to do the trades, but like, the sheer talent loss that he's had over the last 4 weeks. So, yeah, I
Yeah.
think he's fascinating.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Losing Tyreek feels like a huge loss, and it would make his team a lot worse. When you look at his performances over the last 5 weeks, you realize he's probably the same as most flex wide receivers, even receivers that you could pick up on waivers. He hasn't been performing that well. So it makes sense that Sloan would get a little bit of momentum, but I don't think you can keep trading away guys and keep being in contention. I feel that Sloan probably pulled the tank lever too early. The 3 point weeks that he had, honestly, it was unlucky. I mean, even before this week, his overall point total wasn't that far out of being in competition with you, Mike and Dill. I think if he holds Mixon and holds Tyreek, we're a little bit over halfway through the regular season at this point. I think he still had a serious shot at making the playoffs. Now, all of the players that he traded, Tyreek, Mixon, I would imagine he will trade McCaffrey at some point, but that's a really tough deal to get the value out of him that you actually want. All of those guys, it's not the like 26-year-old, are they going to have 3 more seasons or no more seasons? It's these guys have 1 or 2 seasons left, undoubtedly, right? The age cliff, they're already kind of defying it at this point. So I respect his move to sell the players and at least have some kind of attempt at improving his team in the long term. But I don't know. Making the playoffs is kind of worth it. He's kind of like the Indianapolis Colts of fantasy football because his team probably wasn't good enough to win the championship, but he could have been in the playoffs, I think, if he would have actually held all of his players.
Yeah, I think so too. I think your comment too about Collins' unluckiness this last week is fitting. I mean, Matt kind of deciding to do a half tank, again on Monday night certainly helped Colin keep Matt out of that kind of tier of teams. But to put up 130 points and to what he got 5 table points. Like, I've
Yeah.
had weeks where I've put up 130 points this year and gotten 9 table points. So like, I feel for him that he didn't make up a little bit more ground there, especially because if we're probably 4 weeks out from that point where the 6, 7, 8 seeds are going to realize that they're out of the playoffs, but they're not in full, they're not in Waffle House contention. Obviously, not all of them have their picks, so that'll come into play too. But like, my guess is Matt is not going to be the only team that intentionally tanks at some point this year. So there's going to come a time where it's even harder for Colin to make up ground. So I think these next couple weeks are critical for him if he wants any chance of making Matt sweat for that Waffle House spot.
Do you see a world in which Colin doesn't finish last?
Probably not. I
Yeah.
no, not really. I think it's like if you look at Matt's roster for this week, a lot of his players are playing in earlier games. So I don't really think Matt's going to be able to do a full-on kind of, midweek tank again this week. I would assume Matt will outperform Colin, although who knows, last week was an impressive performance. So I feel like it's unlikely. What are your thoughts?
When you look at his starting roster, it's not horrible. I don't think it's horrible. I don't think he should be a runaway last place this early in the season. Jayden Daniels, Achane, Nacua, Evan Ingram, Olave. There's names that you like there that would start on a number of teams, probably most teams in the league.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's so weird how these things kind of play out. I would have thought Matt's team would be a lot worse than it actually is. Personally, I think that Colin has a better starting lineup than Matt does, but somehow those like results haven't actually played out. I also think that Colin has a better starting lineup than Ongood does, but Ongood continues to find a way. It's one of those things where you're at the when you're at the bottom of the table, you just find these players that put up 10 points a week. You don't really understand how they do, but you see names starting and you're like, how does this guy actually score points for this team? But every week they kind of tend to do that. So I think if Colin was maybe 5 points closer, his shot would be a lot better. I just think the teams at the top are so much better than those three teams at the bottom. It's really hard for a team like Colin or Ongood or Matt to really work into the 7, 8, 9, 10 table point range because the talent is just so much worse. So you really have to consistently outperform those bad teams every week to make up ground. And I don't know if Colin's roster is that much better.
Yeah, I agree. I think the hole is probably too deep at this point to pull out of, but you never know. I mean, it's certainly, you know, he's made up what 4 points on Matt in the last 2 weeks. Is that right? I'm trying to.
Yeah. Four points
in the last 2 weeks. And there's what, 6 weeks left in the regular season.
Yeah. 6 weeks.
So if he continues that pace, he's only one out of, you know, 1 point out. So, you know, he has got a 13 point gap right now. If he made up 2 points a week the rest of the season, you know, that's getting real close. So I don't know. But again, like I said, you got to imagine there's at least one or two other teams that of those bottom teams that are going to tank.
Yeah.
It's going to limit his ability to make up ground. So
totally agree.
I think he needs another big week.
I don't think we've ever had a team be this last place before, like be so entrenched and last in the league. It's so weird.
Yeah, definitely not.
I mean, his run of 1-2-1-1-5-1-2 it's unprecedented. I don't think we'll ever see anything like that again, honestly, unless some team truly craters. Like for his, how competitive, I don't think his roster is competitive, but good enough. It's insanely unlucky.
But also it's like, I mean, I was one on the pod earlier this year saying that Ongood was going to finish last every week this season. Like I thought his team had cratered, and to your point, it's just chock full of guys that get 10 points and, you know, he ends up with 100 to 110 every week. And some weeks that's last or second. I mean, he hasn't actually been last yet, but you know, some weeks that's second to last and some weeks that's fifth. And I don't know. They keep his head above water.
Yeah, it's true. All right, Brian, any other thoughts on the table standings this week? And we know you're out last week, so I want to make sure you have a chance to make up lost ground.
I don't think so. I agree with you. This has, I think, been the most entertaining season from, we've had previous seasons where the Waffle House piece has been really entertaining. But now I think this is going to be a pretty wild ride over these next, you know, 6 weeks to determine the playoff teams. Yeah, and I agree with your analysis about, you know, my depth is extremely thin, and when my full lineup starts, I would put my lineup against almost anybody else's in the league, but when my full lineup doesn't start, it gets rough quick, and T. Higgins has decided that he only wants to play every other game this season, so that's tough.
Yeah. Yeah. And you don't really have the flexibility to make other moves, which is tough too. Like you're kind of locked in with the guys. Yeah,
I am. And it is what it is. So, but it's been a fun season.
For sure. Okay. Before we get to the part that we prepped for, let's talk about trades in the league this last week. We had one trade. It was with me and Sloan. Joe Mixon has been on the trade block for a couple weeks now. Joe Mixon moves to my team for Michael Woods' 2026 first round pick. Brian, what's your assessment of this deal?
Makes a ton of sense for you. Help replace some of those players that got injured, you know, those season-ending injuries you've had the last couple of weeks. Mixon, I think, has proven that he's still a consistent performer week to week for the rest of the season. It feels like a pretty high floor guy. Like, I don't really have any fear of Mixon getting you 3 points any week. Like, I think he's pretty reliable. I for Sloan, I am proud of him as a former tank manager that the pick acquisition has been fun to watch for him. And especially, I'll have more comments on that given our, with our second segment, but it's fun to see him go through this. I'll say I threw my name in the ring for Joe Mixon just as
You
a
did.
I did. I
What'd
offered
you
up
offer?
I offered Michael Pittman straight up for Joe Mixon. Sloan said he wanted picks. I tried to pitch him on the idea that a 27-year-old number one wide receiver who has a contract extension is better than a late first round pick that has a 50-50 shot of hitting. I pitched him on the idea that even though that he would be buying Michael Pittman at his lowest value because of the
It
Anthony
would be.
Richardson situation.
Yes, it would be his lowest.
So when he said that was not enough, I even said, if you need a little bit more, go on my bench and find, if there's a little bit more that you need to add, go ahead and do it. I never heard back. That's okay. Even though I'm disappointed to have not gotten Mixon myself, I really do respect just the pick acquisition from somebody like Sloan. That's just, it's fun to see. So I'm jealous that I didn't get him, but I think it's a good move for both sides.
It's funny because I texted Mike about it. Mike was also in on the Mixon. I guess we can call it a Mixon sweepstakes at this point. Mike offered Deontay Johnson and a 2026 second round pick. And I told Mike, Sloan's the kind of guy that when he knows what he wants, you're never going to change his mind.
That's true.
Like if Sloan wants a pick, you're not going to convince him that a player is better than a pick. And I tried to convince him that Mixon was not worth a first round pick. I tried to trade him Collins 2025 second, which I actually think might be a better, like, would you rather get the 2.1 now or the 1.8 a year from now? I mean, it's a conversation at least.
I would say it depends on how you value each draft class, but I think we both know that Sloan does not know how he values either draft class. So
For sure. And I honestly myself don't have an assessment of either draft class
me
at this
neither.
point.
Me neither,
Like
but I know
I'm,
I will.
I will, yes, for sure. And I'll want to get picks and I'll trade for them at the wrong time when they are when they're the at their most expensive. But yeah, it's a trade that I definitely didn't want to make. It feels like a losing trade for me. I know it's fair value for Mixon, but acquiring another 28-year-old running back is not something I had on my like to-do list for the fantasy football season this year. I have three of them, or I guess, two of them, and Aaron Jones and Alvin Kamara. I continue to build what would be the best fantasy football roster in like 2017. Like that is my team for sure. And I added to it with the Mixon addition. So it's a nice add. The Diggs injury and Godwin injuries just really, really hurt. I didn't want to be. I like Brian Thomas, but I don't think he has the ceiling of like a wide receiver one, RB1, and I want to win this year. So I like the value of Mixon. I think he stays relevant this year unless he gets hurt. Obviously, injuries, continue to impact all of our teams, but I didn't want to be in the position where I was having to start Calvin Ridley or DeAndre Hopkins at this point. And to be honest, I like DJ Moore, but I don't think he's a player that I'm happy to be starting. Maybe a year from now, when I've had some of my vets age out and it's just kind of inevitable, but he's not somebody I want to be relying on in a playoff like push or
Totally.
final race. So you give up the first for Mixon. It's probably a fair deal. It is a fair deal, I think, for both sides. It's a win for, I mean, good deal for Sloan. I think the Pittman deal is very interesting. You are buying him at for sure an all-time low, but the opportunity for the ceiling to get higher is scary. Downs and Adonai Mitchell, both pretty good. So it's a tough, but it's tough sell, especially to Sloan.
Yeah,
Okay.
definitely.
Let's do it, Brian. This is our prep section. I spent probably like an hour on this.
I
So
did
this is the
too.
most I have prepared for any segment on the podcast in a long time. We are going to go back and rank the boys league for as drafters. So we're going to rate all of you as drafters bottom to top. We're going to separate it in between the startup draft and then a combination of all of the rookie drafts together. I didn't rate each individual rookie draft. I just did all of them. Is that what you did too?
Yep, same.
Okay. So we've got a lot to cover here. It's fun. It's so fun. This is so fun because Sloan and I did this back in 2022, and I still have the Excel from 2022 where I ranked everyone's startup draft. And it's funny to see the players who I had as hits that I'm like, oh man, these guys are bad. You know, like this is not a hit anymore. And I don't know how I ever thought it was a hit, but my rankings have changed significantly from 2022 to 2024 in terms of how I would evaluate the startup. So
interesting. Yeah, I'm excited to see all the changes here.
Yes, exactly. So let us do the let's start with the startup draft. So we're now 4 years out. We've had a while to evaluate these players. You know, their values have obviously fluctuated. Some have had historical production, and you wouldn't expect most players to be productive for 4 years, especially, you know, some of them are inevitably going to drop off. So you have to consider that. But I think it is a good place to start at the very bottom of our rankings. Mike, who did you have as your sorry, that's a revelation for my last place team. Brian, who did you have as your last place team for the startup draft looking back in 2024?
Give me one moment here. I did this a little bit differently than you, so I'm trying to convert everything into the way that we had it. But yeah, no shocker for me. You know, same as you, it sounds like Mike Wood is the lowest startup draft grade. I gave him a D-. The reason for that, I ranked his best picks in the startup draft. So his best picks was obviously Pat Mahomes, but that was 1-1. That's an easy one to do.
Easy
but
one. It counts. Yeah. Yeah.
David Montgomery was a decent pick. Jalen Waddle in round 9 was a decent pick. And I will real quickly tell you, I want to explain a little bit of my thought process before we get too deep into this so that people can understand. So for every manager, I have best picks, worst picks, and then a grade for each, for the rookie draft and the startup draft. So here was my criteria that I used for determining what qualified as a best pick or a worst pick. So a best pick in the startup or in the rookie draft could come from any round. So Pat Mahomes at 1-1 can qualify as a best pick, or somebody in round 23 of the startup draft can qualify as a best pick. Like, it's just, you're getting good players. A worst pick in the startup draft has to be in rounds 1 through 10. So like, we're not talking about anybody that you drafted in round 15 as a worst.
Agree.
Pick. It's somebody that you invested a top 10 pick in that has not worked out. And then a worst pick in the rookie draft, I only did round 1. So it's just like, you missed on your first round pick. That's tough. So anyway, with that in mind, going back to Mike, Pat Mahomes, best pick. You know, David Montgomery is a good pick. Jalen Waddle in round 9 is a good pick. But then, for me, man, Trey Lance in round 3, Trey Sermon in round 6, Damian Harris in round 7,
horrible.
Noah Fant in round 8, and Terrace Marshall in round 10. It is unbelievable to me. My note that I wrote is, shocking to think Mike didn't finish last in the first season of this league. Pat Mahomes is the only thing keeping this from an F, and that was the easiest pick of the draft.
Yeah. 100%. It's an abysmal. It is a wretched draft. It's honestly like he was trying to pick the worst players at most of the positions.
Yeah.
Pat Mahomes is a self-explanatory pick. You don't even have to think about it, especially when we did the draft. But the only hits I had for him were Pat Mahomes, Waddle, and then I also had Sam Darnold. I think in this year we can say in the 13th round, that's relatively good value at this point. But yeah, his best player outside of that, I guess you would say Trevor Lawrence. I don't think Darren Waller really did anything outside of the 1 year that was like actually good. So that's not really much. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
Bad for Mike. But he knows that. I think he would admit that too, that he had a horrible startup draft.
Totally. So
who's your number 9, Brian?
My number 9 is Austin. So I gave Austin, keep in mind, Mike was a D-. Austin is all the way up at a C- for me. And now, granted, I'm a nice guy. I probably graded nicer than I should have. But Austin started draft grade C- for me. His best picks, Jonathan Taylor, Saquon Barkley, those two have just carried him for years. Those two. Worst picks, Chris Carson in round 6 is rough. Ronald Jones, Half this league will not know who that is. I know you and I do. Sloan definitely won't. Ronald Jones in round nine. Actually, Sloan, text in the group what position you think Ronald Jones plays. I'm curious to see the answer. Rondale Moore in round 10. I love Rondale. That's a tough top 10 pick.
For sure.
Yeah, so C minus. My note was his first five picks were good, fine, not reasonable, but picked older quarterbacks with limited long-term starting ability. So to me, that was why it had to be so low. What about you?
So let me talk about Austin first. First off, he drafted Ben Roethlisberger in the 13th round, which I really like looking back and seeing that Ben Roethlisberger was
In
taken in
this
our
league.
startup draft. Yes, yes, yes. I did not have Austin that low. I will get to where I had Austin, but I think it was hard to put him in the bottom two because he didn't really miss on his first five picks. I think Taylor, Barkley, Diggs, McLaurin, Cooper, there are five players that are still relevant in the league today. And I think 4 years later, that's pretty impressive to be able to say that you had five players that are still relevant. Now, like you said, Chris Carson, Ronald Jones, basically after those first five picks, his draft is an absolute disaster. There's nobody else that's really good. But I had a hard time penalizing him that much because he did do a really good job in those first five picks.
That's fair. How about just real quick? I just one suggestion. How about I'll tell you from 10 to 1 where I have people ranked, and then you tell me where you have each person ranked in that, and then we'll do a recap. So just so it's a little bit easier to keep track instead of
I like that. I like that.
two different rankings. So where did you have Austin?
I had Austin at seven.
Okay. Nice. Okay, so on to my number eight. Let me real quickly figure out who that is based on my rankings here. I think I have my answer. I apologize that I did not come more prepared for this, guys. Yeah, so Josh, you are actually my eighth overall. It does
Yes.
not seem like it's much of a surprise to you.
I had me as one, only one above Mike, which
Okay.
is pretty hilarious, I think, when
So,
you, yeah, look back. Go
yeah.
ahead, go ahead.
So I ranked your best picks as Kyler Murray, CeeDee Lamb, T. Higgins, and then Kirk Cousins in round 13.
Yes.
I had your worst picks. This is
They're
like
bad. They're horrible.
it's like hard to say out loud because I don't understand how this happened.
It's
But
so weird that there was a universe in which this actually happened. Yeah, go
yeah.
ahead. Go ahead.
Josh drafted Antonio Gibson in round two,
Round
and then
two. That's
round
crazy.
two. And then Clyde Edwards-Helaire in round three. And I put a note on here too. I'm going to read you my note. So I gave you a C plus, so a little bit better than Austin's in my book. But I hear you on why, maybe Austin should be above you. But anyway, I said Gibson and CEH are horrendous. Picked one pick. Listen to this. Both picked one pick before Justin Jefferson and Travis Kelce, respectively. So Gibson was picked one pick before Justin Jefferson and CEH one pick before Travis Kelce. It says grade is carried by CeeDee Lamb and Higgins with an honorable mention to Kirk for having more staying power as a starter.
Yeah, I would 100% agree with your assessment. I just didn't think I could put myself. Mike has horrible misses. His draft is objectively horrible, but mine gets worse by the year. I think when I went back and did this in 2022, I had myself ranked third overall. So I was the third best team, which is so weird to see how this has changed. Now I think firmly I'm in the ninth. Players back in 2022 I considered to be hits were Javonte. I think there was a point where he was, the next crowned elite running back, right? Like he was the guy. I had Mac Jones, who we didn't talk about, obviously worth absolutely nothing now. And there was still some kind of value in Michael Thomas. Obviously that never manifested in anything, but yeah, you can't Antonio Gibson and Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the second and third round are absolutely disgusting picks. It's criminal. They were never even good. They were never good at any point. And so the fact that they have zero historical production and zero future value at this point, I felt like there was no way you can put me in last or
Yeah,
second to
that
last.
was tough. That's fair. So up next, I think, is what, my seventh spot.
Yeah, your seventh spot. Yep.
Yeah. So I had myself in my seventh spot with a B minus grade. So I'll run you through. So my best picks: CMC, DK Metcalf, Joe Mixon, Devontae Smith. I had Darnell Mooney in round 14. And
yes.
I had Gabe Davis in round 18, which Gabe Davis isn't great, but in round 18, like, that's not terrible. And then Nico Collins in round 21, who I then went on to drop one day later, which just kills me. But worst picks: Allen Robinson in round 5, Cam Akers in round 8, and Zach Wilson in round 9. My little note on it was, wish I had mostly just kept my startup draft roster. Not sure why I thought I needed to tank in season 1.
Well, for that reason, I did not have you as 7th. I had you as 5th.
Okay.
So right in the middle of the pack. You had some huge hits. The only other miss I had is I had Cam. Did you say Cam Akers in the 8th?
Yeah,
I think
I did. Okay. Yeah.
And then I think Zeke Elliott in the 2nd was just in the 2nd round. It's not a bad pick overall, but in the 2nd round, when you look back to what we know now, there's no way that we would be taking what Zeke Elliott was, like a 27, 26 year old running back at the time. I don't think that would be happening now.
Yeah.
That we
that's
would
fair.
Redo it. So I don't know. I think you have enough hits. And again, if you look at your first 4 rounds, CMC, Zeke, Mixon, Metcalf, Allen Robinson's kind of bad. I think it's good enough because you have those late round hits: Devontae Smith, Darnell Mooney, Aaron Rodgers. And then you had Matt Ryan too, who I also felt like had enough value for a decent amount of time that he was an asset. Now, again, this league is 4 years old, so nobody thinks about Matt Ryan, but there was value there at the time. Sure. And I think he was a starting quarterback. So yeah. I don't know. I think you were a good middle of the pack team, but your team has definitely gotten better over time.
Yeah.
Like your startup draft. Gabe Davis, I think, is no longer a hit. But
yeah.
And when I did this in 2022, I had you as 4th. So you've basically stayed consistent with where you were 2 years ago.
Okay. Good deal. So my 6th spot was Matt. So Matt, I gave us a grade of a B. His best picks: Lamar Jackson, AJ Brown, Chris Godwin, Mark Andrews. His worst picks: Miles Gaskin in round 7 and DJ Chark in round 9. My note says, Matt got a handful of elite players in the startup draft with very few true misses in the first 10 rounds. Only reason grade isn't higher is because the rest of the top 10 picks are borderline kind of good, bad picks, depending on how you view them, aka Najee Harris in round 2, Austin Eckler in round 4, Julio Jones in round 8, Tom Brady in round 10. Kind of all players that like gave him value for a season or two. Like, they're not, you know, they certainly have had good seasons, but now are like, you know, they're not long-term dynasty assets. So for that reason, Matt comes in 6th for me.
Yeah, I had Matt 4th overall, actually. I really liked his first 5 picks. And I think for me, that carried a lot of weight in terms of where I ranked people. So he had Lamar, Najee, AJ Brown, Austin Eckler, Chris Godwin. Obviously, Eckler is not worth much anymore, but you wouldn't expect running backs to, you know, hold value for 4 or 5 years. And Eckler was a stud for the first 3 years. He was an elite running back asset after the league. So I think he's a pretty big win. Godwin obviously has been pretty consistent. I think it's an all around good draft, one you're proud of. I'm looking at my rankings now and I'm realizing I have a definite error in terms of how I've assessed some of these teams. It's funny to look back on players that I had as misses that I may not have updated, but I think Matt did a pretty good job. I like his roster enough as a startup. And if he probably kept it again, he would probably be in pretty decent shape at this point too. So it's funny to look at that assessment of, you know, where teams would be at if they had just stayed the same.
Yeah, no, I agree. So my 5th place team is Colin. So Colin, I gave a grade of a B+. So best picks: Justin Herbert, Travis Kelce, Cooper Kupp in round 6, and Debo Samuel in round 9. Worst picks: I only had Miles Sanders in round 5 as a worst pick in the top 10 rounds. As my note says, very few misses in the top 10 picks, some borderline players like Kareem Hunt and Adam Thielen, but plenty of hits as well.
Yeah. I had Colin a 6th. So right around where you had him, same hits. Yeah. I had Derek Carr in there too. I think in the 13th round, that's pretty good value to get a starting QB there. And something that when you look across the board, there's a lot of QBs that are in the hits because we just didn't know how to value them at the startup draft.
Totally.
I had DeAndre Hopkins as a miss. I think that he wasn't really productive that long after the startup draft. And I think looking back, he went one pick before CeeDee Lamb, which, you know, that's so painful to think about. So, yeah, similar feelings on Colin.
Cool. So fourth overall, I had Ongun with with also a grade of a B+, but maybe a slightly higher B+ than Collins. So best picks, Alvin Kamara, Dak Prescott, Aaron Jones, Jalen Hurts in round 5, Tua in round 9. I know Tua has been a little weird, but like still starting quarterback, still put up some good weeks. Jordan Love in round 17. I only had Calvin Ridley as a worst pick in round 4. That's tough. I get it at the time because we didn't know, you know, what was going to happen over the last, you know, couple of years, but in hindsight, worst pick. So, B+, I said, you know, similar to Colin, not a lot of misses in the top 10 picks. Hitting on Hurts and Love helps a ton. Another team that would have had success if they'd stuck with their core group.
Yeah. Agree with you 100%. On good third overall for me. That QB room is kind of nasty. I mean, if he maintains it, Dak and Jalen and Tua and, yeah, I don't think he really missed outside of Calvin Ridley in the first like 9 rounds. So that's pretty impressive. I would have taken Kamara, Jones, Deontay Johnson, Dallas Goedert. Those are all good players. Melvin Gordon had his time in the light too. So yeah, good draft from Ongood. I had, like I said, third.
Okay. So I believe up next in my third spot, maybe a little bit of a hot take. I'm curious to see what you think. I have Dylan in my third spot. Here with a grade of an A-. So excellent, you know, excellent grade. So best picks, Josh Allen, Justin Jefferson, Josh Jacobs, Michael Pittman in round 10, Tony Pollard in round 12, Christian Kirk in round 19. Pretty solid. Worst picks, Kyle Pitts in round 4, I consider a worst pick at this point. Chase Claypool in round 7. My note, got elite talent at the top of the draft, supplemented with a bunch of great role players, you know, similar like DeAndre Swift, Etienne, Dobbins, Sutton. I think the reason this is a bit of a hot take, kind of similar to what we've talked about over the last couple of years, 2 years ago, guys like Swift, Etienne, Dobbins, Sutton probably would have been in the great picks section of this. But given, you know, given their recent issues over the last, you know, 12 months, I kind of mentally dropped them down into like this kind of 50-50 territory where like it's probably, you know, jury's still out a little bit on how great of a pick or how bad of a pick it was. So I gave an A-. I honestly don't see a ton of separation between these top three teams for me. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, Dill, I had first overall. I think it's a combination of things. So where I'm getting from you, Brian, is you're kind of indexing on like, what is the value of these players going forward? And I think that a lot of these players that Dylan drafted, while they may not have been the most productive, they held dynasty value for a very long time. And so it is a combination of productivity and relative worth. And Swift, Dobbins, Pittman, Marquise Brown, Christian Kirk, there were all, you know, Etienne, Sutton, Tony Pollard, Carson Wentz, Kyle Pitts, Chase Claypool even. There were times, Deshaun Watson, he drafted in the 13th round. There were times when all of these guys could have been sold for at least a first round pick over the course of the league. I think that's pretty impressive. Just drafting to acquire value. Obviously you want to acquire assets that are productive, but there's something to be said for having assets that are valuable. There's plenty of other teams on our list that have drafted assets that were never valuable or productive. So I applaud Dylan for his like ability to look into the future and capitalize on youth when none of us were really doing that.
Yeah, I agree. And like I said, I really don't, I think any of these three, my top three teams in my mind are very interchangeable. So I think there's an argument to be made for each of them. So yeah, my second spot is Tom. I have him with an A grade for his startup draft. His best picks being Derrick Henry, Nick Chubb, Ja'Marr Chase, Mike Evans, James Conner in round 11, and freaking Amon-Ra St. Brown in round 15, which just disgusts me.
Yeah.
And then worst picks, Justin Fields in round 4. I mean, He was a starter even this year, so I'm not sure that's really that terrible. Jerry
Yeah.
Jeudy in round 8, Michael Carter in round 9. So, a couple more worse picks, but also some just elite dynasty assets in the best pick section. So, my note says, excellent mix of veterans in their prime and young players that blossomed. Amon-Ra St. Brown is the steal of the startup. Picks have aged well. Worst picks weren't critical.
Yeah, I had Tommy second overall. Yeah, it's just a masterpiece, and he's
Yeah.
still, because of that, that's the only reason he's still relevant. I mean, it's honestly kind of crazy to not put him first overall now that I'm thinking about it, because he's won three fucking championships just because
That's
of the
true.
startup draft, right?
That is
Like,
true.
I'm like regretting my list as I'm talking about it, because
Me
like, oh,
too.
Dill's, it, and it's the how we fell in love with Dylan's team, and we're for 3 years where we were like, oh, that team is so awesome. It was rarely when we were like, oh, I really want Tommy's team. You were just kind of like, of course, Tommy's in the playoffs again. All of these guys somehow stayed perfectly relevant for 4 years since, the draft started. Kittle's having the year of his career right now. I mean, you look at George Kittle in the third round, that just feels like a bad pick, but you're like, it won him championships. So yeah, Tommy probably should be first. I have him second. But yeah, Ja'Marr Chase in the fifth and Amon-Ra in the 15th. I remember that startup draft. We were all like, oh, Ja'Marr can't catch the ball, like, and everybody, and he slid like a whole round and a half because of that. We were like, I'm not taking
You're
him.
right.
And that just, yeah,
Yeah.
I felt like an idiot. So,
You're right. I feel a little silly putting him second, but I'll stick with the rankings that I had. So, I have Sloan in my number one spot, with also an A grade. So I essentially had he and Tommy, same grade.
Yeah.
Best picks to this is a little bit of an odd one. I have Dalvin Cook here just because
Yeah.
Dalvin Cook provided so much value for so long. Obviously, it's kind of funny to say now, but Dalvin Cook, Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams, Joe Burrow, Brandon Ayuk, Baker Mayfield in round 8, Raheem Mostert in round 10, low key, pretty good pick,
Yeah.
Jared Goff in round 13, and Ramondre Stevenson in round 19. Worst picks, I have James Robinson in round 5 and Chase Edmonds in round 7. My note. This is the reason Sloan has been a consistent playoff team. He got all of his boom boys in the startup.
He did get all of the boom
And then
boys in the
some
startup.
dumbass decided to trade him CMC like 3 weeks later. So
It felt like a huge deal. I mean, it was the first overall pick that you got in return for him. But I actually had Sloan seventh on my list.
this is
This is our
fascinating.
biggest variation.
This
And
is.
as I looked at it, this is what I was telling you. And I was talking about Cullen. I was like, I probably have Sloan a little bit too low because I realized I had some guys in the misses that probably ended up being hits. But I will say, like, obviously, Ayuk and Mayfield, now you're like, okay, these guys are studs. But a year and a half ago, they were never productive, weren't really worth that much, weren't starting players. I mean, it's hard. I have a tough time with saying, like, was it a good pick if it took 3 years and some like weird situation for the player to end up being good? Like, Nico Collins is a great example, right? Like, there was so much weirdness there. Nobody really believed in him. Obviously, CJ Stroud changes the course of his career. I think that his first four picks are all really good. Dalvin Cook, Devontae, Tyreek, Joe Burrow. Those are big wins. But I don't know. I just feel like obviously, he was in the playoffs every year. I don't love my ranking of this, to be fully honest, but I think that Sloan didn't really capitalize on this great class of like players that he picked. I also have Fournette in one of his hits as well. Like I
Sure.
think Fournette had a couple seasons where he was good. But I think that the timing of all of these players is kind of weird to think about how productive they were over the course of having drafted him. But in reality, Sloan probably should jump in or in the top three. I agree with you. So
Yeah.
I changed my rankings live. I'm not gonna admit that
No,
I was
yeah.
infallible.
No, that's fine. Let's you want to move on to the rookie drafts now?
Yes. So I will say I probably spent a little bit too much time just rolling forward my 2022 stuff into 2024. I put more of my energy in the rookie draft. So I did do some grades along with you.
Cool.
I have the rankings and I have some categories. I did not. So any pick in round 3 or later, I did not say could be a miss. So it had to be in the first
Okay.
two rounds to be evaluated. So anything in three or four, I didn't care how many picks you had. It just, if you got a good player, that's a hit. It counts towards your like overall benefit. But I think we've had one trade where people are trying to go out there and acquire a bunch of third round picks for real assets, which is the one Austin just did. So sure. I think they're kind of a wash. How did you treat those picks?
So to me, it was, you know, best, or you're just saying in terms of like how I ranked best picks, worst picks type thing.
Yeah. How did you look at this?
Best picks, I agree, could come from any round. It could be, you know, first overall pick, the easiest first overall pick of all time, or it can be, you know, 4-10 if that's where they were picked. For me, I did worst picks only in round one. I just feel like as we've gone through, we've realized that even second round picks are pretty 50-50. We've seen years where the third round picks are better than the second round picks. So to me, I'm not really penalizing people too much for that second, you know, that second tier, but I'm also keeping a little bit higher standard to include second round picks as best options, if that makes sense. So to me, it's like, it has to be a really good player in round two to count as a best. It has, you know, but there's no like, you know, no huge misses in round two either.
Gotcha. Okay. I did evaluate round twos as
cool.
I felt like if you have a second, you're like, I want a player that is startable with a second round pick is how I would go into a draft. So, okay. Who was your last, maybe I'll go and then you can say where you're at so we can switch it up a little bit. So I had, like I said, I had some tiers of teams. And this tier is responsible for a lone team, and the tier is just called bad. And that tier and the lone team in that tier is Ongood.
Yep.
I gave him an F. I think he would be admitting that this is the case. His big misses, Jahan Dotson, 2022, pick 1.10. Isaiah Spiller, 2022, pick 2.4. Quentin Johnston, 1.7 in 23. And Zach Charbonnet, 2.1, 2023. Any first or second round pick this man has turns to dust. He has a couple of hits in Dobbs in 3.8 in 2022, who, you know, still kind of on the fence about how consistent you would start him. And I put Bucky Irving in there. I think already you can say that that's a pretty good pick just based on the relative value of him now. But overall, it is dark, the draft history for this team. Considering we only have three rookie drafts, things do not look good for Ongood's team. Where did you have him?
I also had him in 10th with a grade of an F. The worst picks that I called out were the Jahan Dotson and Quentin Johnston picks. And my note on it has missed pretty badly on his only two first rounders. So that's the big indictment to me.
Pretty brutally unlucky for Ongood. I mean, there is a lot of luck in this, and that sucks. That's hard to come back from because it's hard to trade rookies too. Okay, next tier for me. I have two teams in this tier, but I have a clear bottom of this tier. This tier I'm calling multiple big misses. And in ninth place, I have Austin, who I gave a D as a draft grade. Interesting. Big misses for me. Bryce Young, 1.2, 2023. Will Levis, 1.10, 2023. And I don't think Caleb Williams is a miss. He's going to be good. But when you think about the fact that you gave up Drake May and Chris Olave for Caleb Williams on a team that is not that good, that is a lot to give up. I'm not saying Drake May is great. I think he's still in the questionable phase. But his hits are Olave at 1.7, 2022. And Rashee Rice, I think, was having a good start to the year. The injury really hurts at 2.5 in 2023. So I had Austin as ninth. Where did you have Austin?
I realized I said interesting right as you said that, and then realized I also had him ninth. So I retract that. But so yes, I also have him ninth. He was a tough one for me because the Rashee Rice and Caleb Williams picks are so good that it's like hard to rank him that low, but it's also,
you really think Caleb is that good of a pick? You're like, that's an awesome pick.
I mean, like, yes, in terms of, I just like, I don't see him failing. You probably could have gotten a little bit better, you know, if you go Jaden Daniels 1-1, But yeah, like I think that's going to be a good pick for a while. The Bryce Young and Will Levis is just hard. I feel for Austin personally because I also drafted Bryce Young in our Reddit league, and I'm feeling it too. So I'm right there with you. And it's funny, I remember being on the clock in that league and just being like, I don't want to draft Bryce Young, but it feels like I'm like, I don't know. I have no reason to know why I shouldn't, but it just felt bad. And I'm sure Austin felt the same way. But you would have looked like an idiot to not take him, and then if he explodes. So anyway, yeah, I gave him a C though. I felt like the Rashee Rice and Caleb Williams picks kind of carry him up a little bit farther on the grade.
Yeah, I think for me, what hurt him was that because the Bryce Young trade was so bad, he then had to pay extra. Like he had to pay away his good pick, his other good pick in Olave, to like get another quarterback. So it's almost like a double miss, right? Like Olave
Yeah.
becomes almost a bad pick because of that. And you had him second to last. So I think we're in a very similar boat. Okay, my next number eight, still in the category of multiple big misses, Mike Wood, who I gave a C. Mike is a very interesting team. He's a volume drafter. He's made a lot of picks in the first and second round. Notable hits: Garrett Wilson, 1.522, Brian Robinson, 3.622, CJ Stroud, 1.323, Jaden Reed, 3.3 and 23, and then Malik Nabers. I think we can already call that a hit, 1.3 this year. His misses: Jameson Williams in the first and 22, Sky Moore in the first and 22, Alex Pierce and 2.10, not a big deal. AR 1.4 and 23. I think we're calling that a miss at this point, boys. And then Roschon Johnson, 2.9, 23. I just feel like Mike, it's not horrible because he has enough hits that you feel good about it, but there's a lot of early to mid first that are misses there, and those really hurt. When you think about building a team long term.
This is fascinating. I have Mike number one.
Number one?
Number one.
You
I
can't
have.
miss three first rounders and be the
But
best drafting team.
that's the difference to me is I only listed Sky Moore as a true first round miss.
Jameson Williams is a dud. I don't care if he may be good,
He
he's
is a
never been
good.
startable.
He is a very good wide receiver. There is some, I agree. I would not necessarily take him at the same spot, but he is a good wide receiver. Remember, Josh, I have Jameson Williams in the Reddit League too. I have to pitch that,
Okay, sure.
but I'm a little biased. But Jameson Williams is a quality wide receiver. He has a lot of off the field weird stuff, but at this point, he is still a good wide receiver. And you know where I stand on AR. AR is not a miss for me at this point. He is
You
not a
simp
hit.
for
I'm
Mike
not
so hard,
counting
Brian. You're a Mike simp.
him. Somebody has to balance you out on this spot, Josh.
It's
I
disgusting.
AR is not a hit, but he's not a miss.
What the fuck? He's not a miss. Are you kidding me? He's not even
He's
playing. He's
not.
getting benched for Joe Flacco.
That's because the Colts are a stupid franchise. It's not because of anything about him.
If Garrett Wilson got benched and was like, we're not going to play him the rest of the season because he's bad, you'd be like, who knows?
Well,
Like,
Garrett, I can see with my own eyes that Garrett Wilson has potential still, just like AR. So here's my note. I said, like again, just list the best picks, Josh. Garrett Wilson, Brian Robinson, CJ Stroud, Jaden Reed, Marvin Harrison is definitely still a quality.
no, he can't be a hit if he hasn't done anything yet. He's
He
still a
hasn't.
TBD.
He
He's a
has done
TBD for me.
plenty. He has
No,
done
he hasn't.
plenty.
He's
You
like
were
wide
just 2 weeks
receiver
ago
40.
telling Mike to
I
start
said,
him.
yes, he should have started him. He should have started him, but I think he has proven that he should. I mean, that Mike's team, he's not startable anymore. I can admit that I was wrong, but at the time, Mike should have been starting him. I think that is undeniable. Now, over the last 3 weeks, as he said, not been productive. Sure, but Marvin Harrison Jr. and Odunze, I think, are huge. I mean, not huge question marks, but with a 1.2, you're expecting an alpha wide receiver one. I'm not saying Marvin Harrison Jr. isn't going to be that, but I don't think he's proven that he is that yet.
I disagree. I don't think
He's wide receiver 40.
I don't think he's an alpha wide receiver one. I have just not seen anything to make me think that he wouldn't be deserving of a top three pick if we redrafted today.
Sure, but 24 is the draft's not going to change that much. If you're
sure,
like, but it's all up potential upside still at this point.
So then we should just not rank any 24 picks.
I think there are some 24s that you can say are hits just based on their value relative to when the draft started. Like if they're worth more now than where they were drafted, that is a win, even if they haven't been super productive. And I don't think Marvin Harrison Jr. is worth more than when he was drafted.
I would rank, like, if I was, you know, I also had Malik Nabers on the list. If I was ranking between the two, I would rank Malik Nabers as a better pick than Marvin Harrison.
For sure.
I agree. To me, Marvin Harrison Jr. still fits in a good pick range. To me, Sky Moore was the only true miss. Now, again, keep in mind, I didn't rank any second round picks as worst picks. So that's probably a little part of it. I said lots of early straightforward picks, but so far no major misses. AR could change that soon, so I did throw that in there for you. He could change that soon. Sky Moore as a late first is what keeps this from being better. Whole team built through the draft.
Brian, his only true ultimate, like, major hit is CJ Stroud. Like, Garrett Wilson is good, but Rodgers hasn't made him an elite asset. Like, that was the hope. Oh, Rodgers is going to make him a wide receiver one. Like, Brian Robinson, a fine starter. Jaden Reed, I have a ton of questions about Jaden Reed. I think he is insanely overvalued in Dynasty for getting four targets a game. Like,
excuse you.
Yeah, Brian, he gets four targets a game. He gets four targets a game. He's good, but I'm just saying he gets like a 70% snap share. Like, he only has one true, like, Stroud is a absolute stud pick. Like, that is an elite pick. But outside of that, for how early he's drafting, I don't think he's gotten the, like, I mean, now they are valuable fantasy assets, so that is true. But I don't think a lot of them have increased in value since they were drafted. I think if anything, they haven't gotten a ton of productivity and not a ton of value increase. Now, Brian Robinson, Jaden Reed, sure, they have increased in value, but I don't think Jaden Reed's been productive. Brian Robinson's been an RB2, so we're not talking about studs here.
Here's what we're going to do. We're gonna finish this pod. We're going to put a poll in the GroupMe. We're going to see, you don't have to agree that Mike should be number one or that Mike should be whatever you have. Seven, I think, is what you said.
Eight.
Or, you know, Mike number eight. You don't have to agree with either of those two slots. You're just going to rank which one you think he is closer to, because I am fascinated by this. I am shocked that you have him that low.
He has so many misses.
He has one miss.
Nabers is hardly even a hit for him because you traded him away immediately. Well, it was basically your pick.
This is about drafting.
But it was your pick, though. Like, you were making the pick live while you were doing it. Like,
fair. But
Stroud is it, pretty much. Like, the big only huge, huge hit for me at this point. Like, he's the only statistical huge hit.
Yeah, I disagree.
Okay. Let's move on. Don't get me started on old Mike. You know, I can go for a long time.
That was awesome. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Next category. I have three teams in this category, and the category is called Not Enough Picks. And at the bottom of this category, and so this would be my seventh ranked team, I have Tommy. And I have his only hit as Kyren Williams at 3.10 and 22. I still think Xavier Worthy is a big question mark. If anything, I'm probably more scared of him than I was at the startup draft. Kyren's obviously a great pick. Tommy's had, you know, thirds and fourths that have not panned out. I just don't think we can actually assess like his grade as a drafter given his lack of early round picks. Where did you have Tommy?
I had Tommy sixth overall. So very similar. I'll real quickly read what I had for him. So I agree. Kyren Williams, the only real hit among this. It's a huge hit, but the only real one. I wrote no bad picks, but not really many picks to speak of. Only great pick has been Kyren Williams, but that is a truly great pick.
It's a great pick for sure. It's so weird that it's a great pick. He gets a touchdown every week, but
he is as inevitable as the Trojans.
For sure. Okay. Next up in my five spot, I had Sloan Gibbs at 1.5 and 23. I think that's a good pick. Solid. You don't feel bad about that, but I think that's his only first and second round pick he's had in our draft. So just not enough to make a real assessment. A fine pick when he made him.
Yeah, I had Sloan eighth, but in hindsight, I probably penalized him a little too much for just not having picks. So yeah, obviously I had Jahmyr Gibbs as the you know, best pick. I actually didn't have any worst picks, so that's why in hindsight I probably should have ranked him a little bit higher. But I said, you know, Gibbs is the only thing keeping this afloat. Hasn't made a ton of picks though, to be fair. So
yeah,
just like you probably corrected yourself, I probably should have gone a little bit higher. But
I like our honesty, Brian. That's a testament to us as hosts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shows the authenticity of the pod.
For sure. At the top of this category, so this is my fifth overall team in the not enough picks group, I had Colin. So fifth overall. A-Chain, 1.923. Jaden Daniels this year, it's a win. Like, you know, it's a win. So, and then his TBDs are going to be Bo Nix and Jonathan Brooks. I think it's still too early to say anything on either of those guys. But again, Jaden Daniels is great. A-Chain, I think, is good, but I don't feel super confident in him long term. I would be scared to trade for him. So it's a fine pick at the end of the first, but I don't think there's enough here to make a true evaluation of this person as a drafter.
Yeah, he was also fifth for me. So same thing, A-Chain and Daniels at the top. I didn't have any worse picks. My note says a couple of nice hits with no major misses.
Okay, moving into the top four. So this next category is three teams, and honestly, probably could be four teams, but three teams in the category for me is called good enough that you want to keep drafting. And in this category, in fourth place, I have you. Breece Hall, Drake London, Trey McBride, all in 2022. Those three picks are looking very solid. Obviously, you traded away Drake London this year with Hurts, but I think you have some other nice Khalil Shakir. I hate to say it, but it's decent value in the fourth round. You're going to be happy with that. And Josh Downs, I think, could also be a good asset. Your big misses are Kenny Pickett at 1.9 and 22. You got some starting years out of him, which is good, but and you were able to trade him away. He had fantasy relevancy for a little bit, but also Pickett and Ridder. So those quarterbacks kind of got you a little bit reaching on those. But outside of that, I mean, you've proven that you can make good draft picks at the top that are truly elite assets, and then find some value in the middle rounds. So I do it fourth. Where'd you have yourself? Yeah,
I actually had myself at fourth as well. So
wow.
Again, Breece Hall, Drake London, Trey McBride, Khalil Shakir as the best picks. I listed Kenny Pickett as the worst. I said Hall and London were easy picks, but quality players. McBride and Shakir are some of the best late round picks.
There's a world in which you could have taken Treylon Burks, I think, second overall. Like, that could have happened. So
yeah, that was the year that I was doing a, obviously I had the number one, number two overall pick, so I did a ton of research, and I was like, I was literally watching film on them. And I was like, I fell in love with Drake London. Like, obviously he's turned out to be a very good NFL player, but I was like, this guy has it. So yeah. Burks was in the consideration, don't get me wrong, but I would say like it was probably multiple weeks going into draft day where it was London.
Okay. Third overall, I had Dylan as the third overall team. And it was because he has Addison at 1.8 and 23, Laporta at 2.8 and 23, and then Brock Bowers this year at 1.8 and 24. Love Brock Bowers. I think that's such an awesome pick there. And then I think Bigsby at 2.10 and 2023 is good. He has a huge miss in Treylon Burks at 1.3 in 2022. That is really bad. And I would say Damian Pierce at 2.3 in 2022 is relatively bad. He only had about a year of relevancy, but I think one missed pick in like first round pick in 3 years in Addison and Bowers, I think, you know, are going to end up being pretty decent value, and then getting Laporta and Bigsby too. I think if you're shooting, you know, 67% in your first and second round, I'd say that's pretty good at drafting. Where'd you have Dylan?
I actually had Dylan seventh, but another example of probably a little too low, but because I gave him the same grade as Tommy. So I should have definitely bumped him up, but I guess the reason that I ended up there, I actually only listed Sam Laporta as a best pick. And my reason for it was Brock Bowers looks very good, but, you know, kind of using your thought process, I would still draft Bowers in that range. So I'm to me, he's still a little bit like, was it good value? Was it not good value? I think it probably was, but I wouldn't have, you know, jumped him way up the board. So that's why I kept him where he was at.
Sure.
I feel kind of the same way about Addison. Maybe I'm crazy, but like Addison like doesn't feel like a bad pick by any means, but it doesn't just jump off the page to me as a great one. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm probably lower on Addison than I should be. But Treylon Burks obviously is really rough. The Damian Pierce one I noted too, although it didn't qualify for a worst pick for me. But yeah, I mean, probably a little harsh, but yeah, I had him at
pretty
7.
Close. Okay. Moving on to number 2 overall, I had Matt at number 2. Big hits are, I think, James Cook and Zay Flowers at 2.2 in 2022 and 2023. I think Ken Walker is a fine pick. JSN still kind of TBD what's going on there. I think it's too early to tell. I feel, you know, I like Tyler Allgeier at 3.2 in 2022. I think that was a great pick as well. I think Matt is, I think maybe second overall is generous to him. He has some misses at Jalen Tolbert at 2.9 and Jonathan Mingo at 2.6 in 23. But I think overall he's done pretty well. I mean, most of his players have maintained their value since draft. JSN, obviously, probably a big faller. I think you could call him a miss at this point, but I still wouldn't be eager to give him up, just, you know, given where he's at it right now. But I think Matt has proven he can do pretty well with those early seconds. Right now, he's got James Cook, Zay Flowers, Ladd McConkey's a late first, but that's looking like a pretty good pick too. So I had Matt second overall. Where'd you have him?
Yeah, I had Matt third overall. So
okay.
I listed Ken Walker, James Cook, and Zay Flowers as kind of the best picks. I didn't have any worst picks. You know, as I said, has drafted multiple top 10 running backs and has Zay Flowers to go along with it. No major misses in the first round. I didn't note any like major hits in the late round, although I agree with what you had to say. So to me, it's just like, it's kind of a model of consistency thing. Like, you know, there's nothing, you know, nothing that causes me to like knock him points. So to me, just the quality of, you know, of player that he's had pretty consistently, you know, puts him towards the top. So third overall.
Yep. Okay. On to my first, number one over category. I called this category selfish. And I'm probably putting a hex on myself for future drafts, but yeah. I had my team first overall in drafts. I think I've made some really good picks in the second round. I've done a lot of second round drafting over the years, and I've hit, I said I've hit on Pickens, Rashad White. I think Brian Thomas, we can already say that that is a relative hit. I think Dalton Kincaid was hit enough, you know, for a second round. Christian Watson, still kind of TBD. Wandale Robinson, I think, has proven to have some value. The second round misses I had as David Bell and Kendre Miller. But I think Bijan was a great 1.1. Tank Dell, another big pick. I think Penix and JJ, well, they're still not like high assets. If we redrafted 2024 now, I think Penix and JJ would go a lot higher than they did previously. And so I had myself first overall just for the finding value in that second round. Where did you have me, Brian?
Yeah, I had you second. So I agree. You're right there up at the top. I had to knock your ego down a little bit, putting you one spot below Mike. But
behind Mike fucking sucks at drafting. Like, I'm just kidding.
So I listed, you know, as like kind of your premier picks in my eyes, that obviously Bijan Robinson, the Wandale Robinson pick, Tank Dell, you know, some of the ones you mentioned earlier. I gave you a grade of an A-. Bijan was an easy pick, but a good one. Some great later round picks, you know, meaning second, third, and fourth for me. And then I just kind of put in the qualifier of like plenty of what I call like the TBD picks of, you know, a lot of the guys you mentioned, the Christian Watsons, the Dalton Kincaids, the Drake Mays, that like feel good about, way better than plenty of other picks around them. Not necessarily home run, you know, grand slam home run types, but like quality, they're fine. They're not, they didn't qualify for my best picks, but they're players that are quality. So I actually kind of see, like, if I was doing tiers, I kind of see you and Matt in the same, like, you are Matt on steroids a little bit in terms of, like, there's not major misses, and it's just like quality pick after quality pick after quality pick. So I think it's a lot. That's why you deserve, that top two spot. So.
Well, I appreciate it, Brian. I didn't want to put me first overall, but I felt like just I was down between me and Matt, and I just felt like I had more hits than Matt did at the
I
relative
agree.
draft position.
You definitely deserve to be ranked higher than Matt, between the two of you. I have my own opinions about
You're
Mike.
just a cuck for Mike.
Welcome, Mike.
It's a great transition into Mike's corner for this week.
Yeah, let's hear it.
It's a good Mike texted me and he said, "Do you have a Mike's corner for this week?" And I said, I'm always working on Mike's corner." And he was like, "I'm feeling pretty bad about my team after the Anthony Richardson news." And look, it's an obvious one this week. Mike, congratulations for projecting your own Mike's corner. You're better at that than you are at drafting. The AR news is brutal. I mean, 3 weeks of constant back and forth. I would have never guessed that our banter on this podcast would have incited such passionate opinions about Anthony Richardson, but that is so painful. It does put a little bit of a damper on Mike's team. This whole competitive advantage that he had around the quarterbacks is now kind of a wasteland of QB2s that you don't really want to start, but you also don't want to sell because of the potential that they have to Trevor Lawrence. Even Pat Mahomes is not a QB1 this year. And I'm not saying he's not great. He is very good. But even CJ Stroud has been he's been a QB2 this year, and that's probably due to injuries. But this QB room that was supposed to, potentially help him raise the trophy this year, Anthony Richardson, the best rushing running back, was going to be guaranteed top five fantasy QB every week he starts, now rides the bench. Mike kind of lost at quarterback, I would say, a little bit in terms of who he's going to start every week. It's kind of a crapshoot in turn, like for who he rolls out there. And I think his den of quarterbacks is actually doing more harm than good for him at this point, because there's no two that I am going to start every single week. And you end up playing this guessing game around who has the matchup, who is randomly going to show up, who's healthy, right? There's no real consistency there. So I think it's got to be the hilarity of what has turned out to be Mike's quarterback room as it has progressed over these last 7 weeks of our fantasy football season.
Yeah, I think that is probably the most fair Mike's corner we've gotten so far. I am actually, it is wild to me to think that if you told us 8 weeks ago how bad of a state this quarterback room would be in, I would not have believed you. But
Yeah.
because it felt so good, like his quarterbacks were in all in great situations, it felt like. And now just each of them seems to have their own problems. To your point, like even Pat Mahomes is a player that Mike hasn't started at points this year because it's been so kind of up and down. And it's been a tough season for that quarterback room, no doubt. I won't get us onto the AR thing. It's 11:55 at night for me. I'm sure you want to go enjoy your night. We don't have
I
another
do.
hour to go back and forth. I just want to point out on this, I actually think this has an impact on how I'm going to view Colts players going forward, because I think this is such an idiotic organizational decision that I'm like, wow, I'm not sure I can trust this team with my like dynasty players going forward. What are your
Wow.
thoughts on that?
Yeah, I've never drafted a Colt, but it is a weird organization in terms of the way that it's run. I think AR is actually bad. Like, I think he is bad and has proven to be bad. I don't think that means he should be benched. So that will be my one point of sympathy for Mike. So I know Brian is always here sucking up to you, Mike, but I will echo Brian in that this feels a little ridiculous to bench your top five rookie or your top five NFL draft pick after 10 weeks of starting. It just makes no sense. The Colts aren't good enough probably to warrant starting Flacco. I know I say shit in the group me, but it's actually insane that they're doing this. This is like negligence. And I texted Mike. I told him this, that a lot of QBs in the NFL fail, not because they're technically really bad, but just because their situation is really bad. Like, we've seen this many, many times, right, over the years. And so I think that this may be what ends up happening with AR. Not to say that he is good. He may be fine. And if he was playing with Sean Payton, maybe, you know, things would be a little bit better. But when AR looks bad, he looks absolutely horrible. And there's throwing passes that could be picked off, and then there's throwing passes that will be picked off, you know? And I think he throws a lot of those when he's throwing interceptions. So yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
Tough look for Mike right now. Bad time to have five QBs.
I real quick on my soapbox, I don't understand what this does for the Colts, because Joe Flacco is probably going to retire after the season. And if then it's like, you're sitting in the off season and you're just looking at like, well, are we going to start Anthony Richardson again? Because we don't really know that much about, you know, we've only seen him over 10 games. Are we going to roll into next season with him, hoping that, you know, these 10 weeks on the bench, he learned something from watching a guy that plays the game nothing close to the way he does? Just, it's idiotic. It's an indictment on that whole organization in my mind.
My only theory is that, similar to what you said, they know that Flacco will retire next year or something like that. And so they're saying, look, this year our team may be decent enough to compete. Our defense is okay, not great. I wouldn't, you know, Colts defense, I don't think anybody's writing home about them. No, but
it's ugly.
They could have won some games. They could have won some games, right? When they lost to the Jaguars, sure, the defense was a disaster, right? Whatever. We know that they probably could have beat the Texans last week if Flacco is starting. They're like, you go 10 for 32, right? You're not winning many games when that happens. And he only rushed for like 20 yards. So it's not like he was crazy on the ground. But my theory is that he just needs more practice time. He's been so injured that, like, throwing him into the game, maybe they're worried that it's like a Zach Wilson effect where his confidence just gets worse and worse and worse. Or what happened to Bryce Young. And they're like, this guy just needs to sit and like be in a safe place to build confidence, learn how to actually throw a fucking football to like a receiver, and then we'll roll him out next year when, you know, we're probably going to be bad. Flacco's gone. Like, the stakes are going to be a little bit lower. So yeah. He's been atrocious. Like, sure, you can watch film and be like, oh, but the read was right or the receiver dropped it. But you can't just keep putting up horrible box scores every week and then be like, but wait, it's not totally his fault. Like, the media, the external pressure, like, that stuff matters to all of these guys. You don't want to have the quarterback that everybody's like, this guy sucks.
Yeah. No, that Texans game was really tough to watch. Yeah. That was ugly.
All right, Brian. It's been great talking to you. Good luck at work tomorrow. Great to have you back on the pod this week, buddy.
Totally. This was a blast. Hope everybody enjoyed it.
Yep. All right. See you, Brian.
See you guys.